Without any further ado, let me call your attention to the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. The first two verses I would like to read. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I don't want to read any further, but I'd have you to note a time to be born and a time to die. But I want to use for the subject the interval between. The interval between. A time to be born and a time to die. The time of our birth is a time over which none of us have any control. We did not ask to make our entry into the world, and we are not here because of our own personal appointment. And most of us, all of us, I guess, know only of our birth what we've been told. For we knew nothing about it at all. It had nothing to do with the choice of race, nor did we have anything to do with our station in life. Whether we were born into a rich family or poor, we had nothing to do with it. A time to be born. I'm sure that God had something to do with it, but we as individuals had nothing at all. And I only know what has been told me about the time of my birth. I was told that I was born, and I believe it. At least I'm here. The 23rd day of January, the year of 1913. So now you can quit guessing how old I am. I was told that I was born hungry. And in those days, they did not have food supplement for babies. And my dear grandmother made squab soup for a hungry baby. I don't know a thing about that. It was what was told to me. I was told that I was born at 2309 West Morris Street. The house still stands. I don't know anything about it. It was what I was told. I had no power over it at all. I wasn't asked whether I was pleased to arrive. No one asked me that question. And I've got an appointment with death to keep. And that is not in my hands either. God is not going to ask me whether I want to die. And if he asks me, what my answer would be will not make any difference. Whether I'm ready or not will not matter with him. It is already stated in Holy Writ that it is once appointed unto a man to die. Amen. And after this, the judgment. Yeah. There's a time to die. And after this, the judgment. Yeah. There's a time to die. And all of us have a time to keep. Some years ago, there was a Catholic professor in one of our seminaries in the state of Indiana, and it was found that he had a malignancy. When it was told to some of his students that he was slowly dying, many of them wept because he was a venerable old man. One young man with tears in his eyes went to him and said, "Father, it must be an awful thing to know that you're dying slowly." The old man looked at him and smiled with a fatherly, kindly smile and said, "Son, there's only one difference between you and me. And that is, I know I have 3 months to live. And you don't know how long you have to stay. But death will meet both of us somewhere down the line." Tonight I'm not primarily concerned about the dying. But there's an interval in between being born and dying. And that's what I want to talk about. That interval is depicted usually on a tombstone by just a dash. Less than 3 inches long. But that dash on that tombstone represents your whole life. It represents your successes and your failures, your accomplishments and your achievements. It represents all that you've done while you were here. It surprises me sometime how little space great men receive in obituaries once they're gone. It surprises me how little paper it takes to write everything you've done while you lived here. It brings back to mind the words of a beautiful song. You may build a cathedral, grand and tall. You can do that. And you can conquer all the failures of your past. But only what you do for Christ in the final analysis will last. That interval in between will not set off, for the most part, dying day. It will not write off death, but it will determine how you die. I'm not responsible for when I was born. And I won't be responsible for when I die. But I will be responsible for how I die. If I die lost or if I die saved, that's my responsibility. If I die on my way to heaven or hell, that's my responsibility. If I die in Christ or out, that's my responsibility. So many of us think that God is giving us this space between birth and death to have ourselves a good time. And we forget that we're going to have to die. And if you are cognizant of the fact that you're going to die. The fact of the matter is, death is feeding on you right now. You've been dying ever since you've been born. slowly but surely, you're leaving here. The death process you set in the day you made your entry in the world. One of the burial rituals has a line that says that while we are alive, we're in the midst of death. Whether we know it or not, the structure of our human bodies so set up that every day of our lives there's certain cell tissue that falls down, that dies. Every day we're here, and if God Almighty didn't replace it, we'd been gone long before now. I don't want you to think that you're here because you deserve to be here. I don't want you to think you're here because you've been so careful. But the prophet Jeremiah summed it up and said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His mercies are renewed every morning, and great is God's faithfulness. And were it not for the faithfulness of God, death would have cut us down a long time ago. And I just want to serve you notice that you can't live like a devil and die like a saint. You can't live like a hellion and die like an angel. You can't live crooked and die straight. You can't live dirty and die clean. But as a man liveth, so shall he die. And that interval in between that determines how I die is left surely up to me. So many of us are fooled about life. And we think we have a long time to live because we're young. And sometimes youthfulness fools us and makes us to feel, because we haven't been here but a few years, that we've got a long time to stay. But may I serve notice on you, young man, young woman, you have no guarantee that you're going to stay here until you get old. It's not written in the book that because you're young, you're going to die an old man. My friend, the Bible says the same man in the same book of Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter. And I may tell you something about the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the book of Solomon as he comes down to the closing years of his life. Somebody has said of Solomon that he wrote three outstanding treaties. One of them, the Songs of Solomon, the love lyrics of his young life, when he was a young man and love was the fancy of his soul. The Proverbs, when he came to the season period of his life, when he could tell men and women how they ought to live and how they ought to walk, when experience had taught him his lessons. And the book of Ecclesiastes, when it comes down to the closing period of his life and he begins to give good advice and tell you how you ought to conduct your life before you leave here. And he writes and says, I sought to find out what was good for the sons of men of all their labors under the heavens. I just sought to find out what a man ought to do while he's living in that interval between birth and death. I wanted to find out for myself what a man ought to do to make it right in the sight of God and for himself before he left here. He summed it up by saying, if a man lived 100 years and had many children and had not seen good, it would have been better for that man that he would have had an untimely birth. He goes on to say, as he looks at life, he said, I said to myself, I'm going to try life out and see what it's all about. I said, I'm going to drink wine. I'm going to give myself to mirth. And whatever my heart desires, I'm going to get it for myself. I made me houses. I built gardens and I made pools of water. And I collected horses and fine singers and fine players upon instruments. I had whatever my heart desired. And I might tell you, young man, young woman, there's no need of you trying to accumulate and find out what it's all about. This man had more than you'll ever have under the heavens. This man had a personal salary that was estimated to be better than $20 million a year. And in Solomon's time, $20 million was like $1 billion today. He had a navy that plowed the seas, the seven seas of the known world, that made one circuit every 3 years and brought him gold, peacocks and apes, oils of all kinds and spices, and filled Jerusalem with everything a man's heart could desire. And when he got it all and looked around and saw what he had gathered, he said, "It's vanity and vexation of my spirit. I have it all, but it's just trying my spirit." And then he looked back at youth with all of its recklessness and with all of its abandon and said, "Rejoice, oh young man, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things, God shall bring thee into judgment. You were born, you didn't have a thing to do with it. You're going to die, and you're not going to have a thing to do with it. But how you die remains on your shoulders. If you die wrong, that'll be your fault. If you die right, that'll be yours. How you die is left up with you. You can die like a fool, or you can die as a wise man. How you die will be left up to you." Oh, hallelujah. Some of us are too cute to live right, too beautiful. Lord have mercy. I feel like preaching again. Hallelujah. Too beautiful to live holy. Somebody has inflated our ego and made us to feel that I'm too cute to live holy. I'm too beautiful to tie myself down and walk with God. But the same writer said, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. For as soon as you're born, if you stay here, you're going to get old. And there's only one alternative for getting old, and that's that you die young. And if you don't die young, you're going to get old. As soon as you live, those evil days are coming. And there are going to be lines on your blessed cheeks. And that velvety smooth skin is going to wrinkle somewhere down the line. And all of Helen and Rubenstein's cream is not going to take the wrinkles out. Cruel feet are going to get there by and by. There's going to be some gray hairs here, there, and yonder. There's no need to dye them black and putting on your wig. You're still as old as the hairs tell you are. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. The evil days when those that look out of the windows be darkened. I have to wear glasses, not because I like them, but I can't see without them. There was a day that I rejoiced in the fact that I could read the fine print and didn't have to have a glass on. But after a while, something began to happen to my eyes, and my feelings were hurt when the optometrist told me, you've got to have bifocals. He said, it's happening, Reverend, like it happens to us all. Father time is picking your pocket. Oh, yes. It's happening to me. Well, I'll wake up in the morning with new pains. The wreckers are working on this building. Go to bed with full activity of all my members and wake up with one of them stiff. God's just sending me warning. Death is working on you. Keep your house in order. I'll be calling for you somewhere down the line. I didn't ask to be born, and I won't ask to die. But how I die is left up to me. Where I die is left up to me. And I've got to make the preparation. If I want to die right, I'll have to get right while I'm here. For if I don't get right, I'll die wrong. Not only the eyes go dim, but the voice plays tricks, and the sound of the grinders cease, because they are few. See your dentist twice a year and brush your teeth with Pepsodent, but they'll come out anyhow. The grinders cease because they're few. Hallelujah. And your mind becomes like a picture, a cracked picture that they took to the fountain, and you put water in it, and it seeps out through the cracks. Used to be able to retain anything you wanted, and now it gets away. You put it down on paper and forget where you put the paper. It's like an empty pitcher that lost all of its water because it was cracked. Hallelujah. And some of your minds are telling you that I'm nervous because I drink coffee with caffeine in it. So you switch to Sanka and Nescafe, but you're still shaking. It's not the coffee, honey. It's that silver cord that's being loose. That nervous system is letting you know you're going out of here as soon as you were born. And the daughters of music used to sing, could hold a tune. Yes, I've seen changes. Sister Golda, amen, was once a beautiful singer. But in the last few months, she's moved from the first sopranos back to the altos. The daughters of music are low. And her husband hasn't moved back to the bass section. He just can't sing. The daughters of music have gotten low. Hallelujah. And the mourners are getting ready to go about the street, because man is going to his long home. Hallelujah. And this wise man said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear what we ought to be doing. Let us hear how we ought to be living. What is the answer, Solomon? Fear God. fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Lord have mercy. God didn't put you here, man, to be a fashion plate. Come on. God's not interested whether you wear 3G or a Hickey Freeman. God's not worried whether you wear Stetsons or Goodwills. That don't make God any difference. That make God any difference. Whether you have on a fine $10 shirt or a hand-me-down, it doesn't make God any difference. Whether you bought your clothes at Silverwood or a second-hand store. But after all, where you headed, clothes won't make the man. Glory. It doesn't matter, woman, where you find your clothes. You can get them at Robinson's and say they're exclusive. But when you stand before the Almighty God, he's not going to ask you what store gave you a credit card. What store allowed you to buy your clothes? But I hear him say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Doesn't matter what you wear, die in rags, but let your heart be baptized. Die in a hut, but let your soul be clean. Die in the street, but be baptized in his name. Filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed by God. Oh, hallelujah. Mama, God doesn't. You think that the man lives in Beverly Hills, has a monopoly on death, die just as quick in the hills as you will in the ghetto. Glory. I know black folks are fighting now to get out of the ghetto. And God knows I'm for you getting out. But let me tell you something. The devil will fool you, honey. As I tell the folks sometimes, if I was going to stay here, I expect I'd be in the civil rights movement. Glory. If I was going to live here the rest of my life, maybe I'd try to be another Martin Luther King. If I thought that I was going to spend a millennium in Indianapolis, I'd do some fighting. But since I know I didn't come to stay, I'm not going to be here long. Glory. For the trumpet might sound most any minute. The rapture of the church is just over yonder. The appearing of Jesus is just a few seconds away. And he's not coming to look to see what my address is. But unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter where your house is. Are you born again? Are you spirit filled? Are you sanctified? Are you holy? Do you speak in tongues? Are you walking with the King? As you live, so shall you die. Hey. Oh. Hallelujah. That's God's name. It's the interval. It's that interval in between. Glory. Hallelujah. And I might tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are or how you live. We're all going to get the same reward going out. Amen. Presidents, kings, paupers, wise men, fools, all get the same reward. I'm going to preach a preacher's funeral tomorrow. But he's got the same reward that Martin Luther King got. Amen. You know all you got coming? A box. That's all you got coming. I don't care how high you live. They just got through burying Father Kennedy a few weeks ago. All he got was a box. And the only difference between his and a pauper, the pauper didn't have fine lining in his. Amen. They just smeared some varnish on his. And for Father Kennedy, they had an elaborate box. But that's all it was. He left all of his riches right here. He left all of his prestige right here. Left Hyannis Port right here. Ha! Stripped him down to his bare nothing. Holy to God. Hallelujah. And took him on out of here. When John F. left, he left the presidency right here. And all he got coming was a box. And Mr. Martin Luther King, he took not a thing with him. SCLC, he left it right here. Coretta and the little king stayed right here. All he got was a box. Glory. And that's all you're going to get. If that's all you've got, say, I got a bank account. Yes. And if you don't make a will, the state's going to get some of that. Amen. Hallelujah. The first man to your strong box, honey, will be the tax collector. And your relatives won't be able to put their hands on the box until the tax collector takes his out. Glory. But I have news for the world. Some time ago, I signed an insurance policy with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah to God. I signed it, a life policy, but it had a death clause in it. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. For insurance with Jesus is the only life insurance that really is. The rest of it's death insurance. The policy don't even go into effect until you die. And the only benefit you get out of it is paying on it while you live. But I've got a life insurance. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'll put a death clause in there that if you die, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I didn't ask to be born. I have nothing to do with dying. But I'm getting ready to live again. Yes. I'm getting ready to live for eternity. And where I live and how I live will be determined by what I do now. Oh. Hallelujah. I've got a death clause written in my policy that though I die, the resurrection said this: I am the resurrection, not the high cause one. I am. I like that. He didn't say I cause a resurrection, but I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though death get him, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Ha! Go. You know, Jesus would have never used the word dying where saints are concerned if they would have understood his language. For saints don't really die. They just go to sleep. You remember what Jesus said to Lazarus about Lazarus? Our friend Lazarus has gone to sleep. Amen. Didn't say really died. For you know what death is? Death, real death, is not the cessation of life. It's banishment from God. And no believer, though he has his life cut off, is banished from God. if he goes to sleep, he's asleep in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a sleeping compartment to the Pullman train of the New Testament church. Hallelujah to God. Holy to God. Hallelujah. Some of us are riding in the day coach, but there's some sleeping compartment back there. And a whole church is riding asleep, waiting for the same event. Hallelujah. The trumpet shall sound, the voice of an archangel with a shout. Lord, I can almost hear it now. Shout. Hallelujah. There's a word that all saints love. Hallelujah. My. It's a Hebrew word carried over into your English language. Hallelujah. Heaven knows it. When we get to the glory world, somebody told that redeemed multitude, praise him. And when they heard the commandment, praise him, John heard a multitude that sounded like 1,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they said, hallelujah, and set something on fire. A smoke went up to the throne of the Almighty God. My. Amen. The dead in Christ, not the dead out of Christ, but the dead in Christ, shall be raised first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. We just catch on as they pass by here and are caught up to meet him in the air. That's no accident. You have to get ready for that one. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go. Just stay where you are, buddy, and you won't make it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe that stuff. Well, just stay right where you are. And don't worry. Yeah, as I told you this morning, you'll have to have something in you that'll quicken you. Something in you that is stronger than you are. Something in you that's more powerful than 1,000 jets to help you to take off from here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't ask to be born, and I'm not begging to die. But how I die will be determined by what I do here now. I've got my policy. How about you? How about you? How? As quiet as you are about it? Paid up. Paid up in full. And I'm using the life part of it now. And if necessary, I can use the death benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm doing in that interval between. I can't drink whiskey and expect to die sober. I can't be a thief and expect to die honest. Mm-hmm. I can't be a liar and expect to die in the truth. Mm-hmm. As a tree falleth, and I know what Roman Catholicism tells you, that after you leave, there's a halfway point somewhere in between heaven and hell. You don't go straight to heaven and you don't go straight to hell. But you can pause in an intermediary state and just stay there for a while. And your sainted relatives can have prayers prayed for you and pray you out of the purgatorial fires. Don't take that chance, honey. Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance. Hear me. When you can have a guarantee that you won't come nowhere near hell. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation is written, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The man that takes part in that first resurrection don't even have to worry about the lake of fire. I didn't ask to be born. And I'm not begging to die. But I've got the rendezvous to keep. Ha! how I die will be determined by how I live.